Hey everybody, or good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where in the world you're joining us from. We are going to talk about smart money trading today, and we are at a very important time in the market right now. So we're going to be talking about live markets, we're going to be talking about trades that we're in, we're going to be talking about trades we're looking at, and how we navigate these very important few months ahead of us. Of course, as we're going to be talking about live markets, we'll start with a disclaimer that this is for educational purposes only. Acorn is not a registered financial advisor in any jurisdiction or province. And of course, trading stocks and options does involve risking all the capital that you invest. Full disclosure, many of the positions we will be discussing today are being held by either myself personally, the Acorn Trading Fund, or the employees and traders of Acorn Wealth. Okay, so a little bit of history about us. I see a lot of familiar names in the room. Is anyone new to us at all? Has anyone not seen a presentation with Acorn previously? All right, a couple of new people. Well, g'day, Adam. Welcome. Emma, terrific. Okay. Well, look, a little brief introduction then. We started back in 2007. You know, my history prior to that was one of a, you know, probably a similar story that many people have shared. You know, I started out when I was a youngster. My dad funded my first trading account with 10 grand that he lent me and said, go at it, son. we'll split the profits. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have an accounting class in high school where we studied the stock market for about 3 years. And so I was all ready to go. And right out of school, I started my first trading account and bang, 10 grand, I turned into 60,000. And I was trading options and risky options. And I thought, you know, I'd had the Midas touch, and you know, everything I touched turned to gold. And that was probably the worst thing I could have done. Because there was no real strategy behind it. There was no real rules behind it. And now I had this instant taste of what the market could do. But again, with no rules behind it, you know what happened next. And very quickly blew that account up, and in fact blew two more accounts up after that. So I was three accounts in the hole before I really even started to make consistent money. And you know, in my early days, I gave a lot of money to the market. And that wasn't because I wasn't trying. I mean, I bought all the software out there. I had all of the indicators, you name it. I studied over 130 different indicators that I was trying to find, you know, the magic source, the secret source, the magic beans. And you know how that goes. Had, you know, all of the screens in the office, all of the TV programs playing in the background, and wasn't making any money from it. So, you know, I've been through the hard yards and gave a lot of money to other people's pockets and to the market. And it was took me quite a while till I finally figured out what really worked. And I'm going to share that with you today. But when we started Acorn in 2007, to me, that was my way of getting back, you know, my jab back at the system. You know, I was so frustrated with how difficult it was to find honest answers and strategies that really worked that I saw a spot in the market or an opportunity in the market to provide exactly that, to be a transparent company that gave people a place they could go that they could trust. So that's why Acorn started. And, you know, our claims to fame, I think some of the biggest ones were our big call on the market crash in 08, early 08, and everyone since that. We've actually had quite a number of big calls on the market since then. The two crashes in 2015, which had 10 and 13% crashes respectively. We then, of course, had 2018, where we had a much bigger decline in October. We nailed those as well. And then, of course, perhaps the one on everyone's mind was the most recent one in January, February of this year, which we actually did 43 public webinars from December through till February, warning people that we felt this was going to be very, very nasty. Even down to the day, we expected it to begin declining. And of course, we know how that worked out. So this isn't coming from any crystal ball, and it certainly isn't coming from 130 different indicators that we were able to make these predictions. It was coming back to following, you know, the important stuff, the simple stuff that taps into ways that we can see the truth behind the smoke screen. And I think in today's economy, and that's what's really important, is how do we see through all the garbage and actually find ideas and information we can actually trust. And there's three ways that we do that at Acorn, and what we teach our students to do, what we do ourselves. And it comes back to these three things. Number one, what is the pattern that's going on in the charts? Now, this is really important because if you listen to JP Morgan's recent report, they estimate as much as 95% of the volume every day now comes from algorithms. So that's, you know, algorithms deciding when to buy and sell based on pre-programmed rules, pre-programmed patterns. So if 95% of the volume is going to make decisions based on these rules, then it's very important, I think you'd agree, that we understand what kind of rules tick these things off to buy or sell. We want to be on the right side of that. So before we go into any kind of level of detailed analysis, the most important thing I'm looking for when I study a chart on the market, on Bitcoin, on the S&P, whatever it is what is the pattern? Because I need to know where the 95% of volume is gearing up to go. The next part is then to take that beyond technicals. So let's get the technicals on in our favor. That's very important. But beyond technicals, how do we find that something special behind the scenes that's going on? You know, how do we find that that alpha where the stock is so powerful beyond just the chart that even if the market were to start breaking down, that this stock is so strong because of what it's going on behind the scenes on a fundamental level that it can still outperform the market. So even if the market went down, we still feel confident it's going to go up anyway, or at least hold its value. And likewise, if we're looking for a short, we want to find that this stock is beyond just the technicals, is so weak that it's really the rotten apple that's going to drop from the tree first. In other words, if the market were to continue going up because of manipulation from the Fed or whatever the case might be, that this stock is so weak that it's going to drop anyway. Well, we're confident that it's going to decline even if the market continued to go up. So looking at the smart money and looking at the presence of these factors is very important to make a kind of a 1-2 punch. And then thirdly, set and forget. And this all comes back to you know, lifestyle and execution. And you heard the previous speaker talk about this in her presentation, which I thought was bang on, which is that if we're going to develop a trading strategy that is going to not just make you money, but is also going to align with what you're looking to achieve from trading. You know, and that's one question I ask all my students when we first start working with them is, you know, what are they really looking to achieve? Now, the obvious answer is let's make more money. But it's deeper than that. Why do we want to make more money? Is it that we are building capital? Is it that we're trying to preserve capital and want to grow our retirement? Is it to replace a job? What kind of time are we willing to invest into it? You know, so for me, trading is all about giving me freedom of time, being able to do what I want with my time because I'm able to make money, as the previous speaker said, and as Warren Buffett says, while you sleep, right? A job is something where we give exchange time for money, right? And you know what the definition of job is, just over broke, right? We give our time for money. Whereas investing or trading to me is the opposite. That's the appeal. That's why I got into it. That it is a way where you can put your money to work and make more of it, right? Your money is working for you instead of you working for your money. And that's the quote right there from Buffett. If you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you will work until you die. So a trading strategy has to be more to me than just something that can make money, because there's lots of ways to make money. Trading to me is extra interesting and holds a special place in my heart because you can make money without having to swap your time for it. So everything that we talk about today is aligned with this idea. And, you know, we just came back from a 4-week road trip through Canada because, of course, with COVID and everything, we thought, well, hey, this is a great opportunity to explore our own backyard. And we took off in an RV and drove through the Rockies and camped at various spots through the mountains. And the beautiful thing about it is it really brought back to me why I got into trading in the first place was, as long as you have a laptop and a cell phone for internet connection, you can literally be doing it from absolutely anywhere. And that's the freedom of time I talk about. So what are the obstacles in our way? Well, bright shiny object syndrome for one, but ultimately, you know, if you look at the way the system is structured, it's not aligned with your success, right? The smart money does not play fair. And in many cases, it's working against you, right? So if you, there was a documentary done a number of years ago called the Theory of Experts. And they actually watched the talking head. They studied the talking heads on all these financial television shows, and followed, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of their picks and their advice. And they found close to 80% of the advice from these so-called experts on TV lost money. They then actually looked at economic analysts that you know, had all these Harvard degrees and things like that, and found that almost 100% of their predictions of where the economy would be a year to 2 years later were also wrong. So that's not really good probability, is it? That's not really stacked in your favor when you can't even trust the so-called experts. So how do we find good ideas, right? How do we see through the entertainment and get into the stuff that really, really works? And that was the turning point for me. You know, when I the point where I went from losing money to making money was when one of my mentors about 18-19 years ago took me aside and said, you know, Johnny, you got to look at how you're making decisions. Well, you know, how are you finding these trades? How are you analyzing these trades? And everything I was doing was kind of falling into the retail trader mindset, you know, following indicators that everyone was using, chasing the bright, shiny object, the special software that was going to do it all for me, that kind of stuff. And he said, Johnny, what you really got to look at is how the smart money's making their decisions, because they're the ones that are always making money. And you can guarantee they're not using this kind of thing. They're looking at something different. We've got to follow that money trail. And that's where, you know, that's where I started focusing on, which comes back to the patterns and following the smart money footprint. And that was the game changer. And that's what we've been teaching at Acorn ever since we were conceived, so to speak, in 2007. So we're going to jump into some live market analysis here in a moment, and look at how we apply this strategy to what's going on now and the types of trades we're looking for in this economic climate. But I'd like to throw a question out to everyone in the audience, first and foremost, just so we can get to know each other a little bit, so to speak, which is, what do you find you're currently struggling with the most? And if you don't mind sharing that, I'll try and work towards that throughout everything we talk about tonight, or today, I should say. You know, what is it what is it that holds you back the most, do you think? Is it not enough time? Is it not having a clear strategy with executable rules? Is it not having enough money, not enough discipline? Is it that you have all of these things, but you just don't have the confidence to pull the trigger? You know, if you don't mind sharing that, we can try and tailor today's presentation to touch on the issues that most of you are sharing. So while you do that, let's just dive into the market. So as we started out today talking about, smart money doesn't play fair. If you want to look at the 2020 crash, which was, of course, blamed on the coronavirus, it certainly was a catalyst. But this was a bubble that was ready to pop anyway. If it wasn't the COVID-19, it would have been something else. We were, the market, for example, going into December of last year, was trading at price to earnings ratios that exceeded all of the major crashes. We were trading at price to earnings ratios on the S&P that were over almost 40% higher than the global financial crisis, the Great Depression, Black Friday, Black Monday. All of them. There's a number of issues that went into that bubble that we won't go into today. But the one thing I do want to show you is what the insiders were doing throughout that period. So if you look at the 3 months of insider trading leading up to February, you'll see a very interesting chart. You can see, obviously, the red is representing the amount of selling that the insiders were doing, and blue is buying. These figures on the left are in thousands. So 4.2 million is actually 4.2 billion, right? You had three extra zeros on the end of this. So we saw heavy selling in almost every single sector, which was significantly dwarfing any kind of buying that was going on, right? Now, what's interesting, so you've got this mass exodus of insiders selling at the top, even before any of this news of this virus came out. What was even more interesting, perhaps, is that when the market bottomed, when the market hit rock bottom, when most people were probably not thinking about loading up on stocks, when most people were in panic mode, the insiders did the opposite. In fact, as the Wall Street Journal reported on, insiders in corporate America bought record levels of their own stock at the absolute bottom. We're not talking about, you know, as the market bounced back. We're talking about when the market was going down and hit its record level bottoms March, April this year. We had a record level of insider buying. In fact, the insiders hadn't seen this level of insider buying over a decade. The last time the insiders bought this amount of money in their own stocks was actually the absolute lows of the market in 2009 after the last big crash. So the insiders have timed it pretty damn well. They've sold off at the top and they've bought back at the absolute bottom. So those that people say you can't pick the absolute top and the absolute bottom, well, there are certain insiders that have done a very damn good job of that. And this is why, to me, the insiders hold a very important place in my analysis, because we're not just following the news here. We're actually going direct to the source, to the people that actually know, to the people that have these incredibly specialist skill sets and have access to information and people that you couldn't even read about if you tried, right? And what we're seeing now going into these recent record level highs that the S&P has managed to do again is we're now seeing that trend flip back to the sell side. We're seeing a significant amount of selling. So just to start out with that 30,000 foot view, I find this very interesting. Now, to take it a level deeper, to take it now to the charts, we're going to talk about two powerful indicators which we use to then time these decisions that we make, to take it from, you know, a 30,000 foot view down to, well, what do we do today about it? And the first indicator I'm going to talk about is perhaps one of my favorites. It's certainly something that I look at every single week before programming in my trades for the week ahead. And this indicator we're going to talk about is something that looks at the amount of stocks that are above their 50-day moving average. So before we get into that, let's start out with a really quick definition. Something that was shared with me by that same mentor that I met up with over 20 years ago. And he said to me, "Johnny, there is no such thing as the stock market, right? There is no such thing as the stock market. It is a market of individual stocks, right? We don't trade the stock market. We trade stocks or ETFs or options on stocks." So let me show you now what I mean by that, about the difference between this fallacy or this illusion of the market versus what's really going on. So if we go back to some of these key crashes that we had warned our students about, let's take a look at 2015 first. Let's go back over these all the most recent big drops. So in 2015, we saw the S&P 500, which is what's on the screen right now, go sideways. April. So if you look over to the left-hand side of the chart, April, May, June, July, August. S&P 500 did nothing. It was directionless. And then all of a sudden on August 19th, you got this flash crash of about 11%. It was deemed as unpredictable. It was deemed as chaotic, you know, a technical event, unpredictable. But was it? We'll get to that. What you can see after that big crash is you then see that the S&P 500 recovered all of its losses and then went sideways again. And then on December 29th, it dropped 13% very quickly. So let's now look at, this is what the so-called market did. Let's look at what the real market did. And that's where we're going to take a look at this indicator. So we're now looking at the same time frame, but what we're now looking at is all of the stocks in the market. And what this graph shows us is what percentage of stocks in the market are above their key support level, their 50-day moving average. This is a really important level because this is where institutions buy, managed funds, big money, smart money, right? They're not looking at the five-day exponential. They're looking at these longer-term trends. They're the Titanic maneuvering in the ocean versus day traders, for example. So in April, What this is showing us is that about 70% of stocks in the market were above their key support level in a bullish trend. But as the market went sideways, behind the scenes, something totally different was happening. In fact, by the time the S&P started to drop on August 19th, you can see that individual stocks dropped from 70% being above their key support level down to 30% being above their support level. So this wasn't a flash crash at all, because what had been happening was the smart money was selling off and liquidating their positions, getting out of the market and perhaps even shorting the market in all of those months prior to, right? Now, the S&P then recovered all of its losses, like we saw. So did individual stocks. And we rallied up once again to this very special area, this very special zone of 70%. In fact, if you look at all of the history of this indicator, whenever you get to 70% or above, it's a very reliable indicator of warning you that a crash is very close. So up we were again at 70% going into November. And by the time the S&P dropped again, we had already once again declined from 70% down to 24%, about 2.5 weeks before the S&P 500 even began that drop. So it's not a stock market, it's a market of individual stocks. And this is a very good way of seeing what's really going on behind the scenes, information we can trust versus the stories that we hear. 2018 was the next time, right? In 2018, we rallied up to these fresh record level highs in January. And then bang, out of seemingly nowhere, the market crashes. Into February. Market rallies again, May, June, July, August. In fact, as you can see here, we even come up to that double top around 2880 and smash through it, making people think this was a bullish breakout, making people, you know, reading the news, market at all-time record highs. Everything's so great. Everything's so healthy. No problems, nothing to see here. And then shortly after, in October, a much bigger crash. Once again, let's take a look at what was really going on. So as we rallied into January and made those record highs, once again, we reached this 70% threshold, which you can see there on the chart, right? If I can just get a line out here, right? Went into that key sell signal at 70% or above, and that was where we issued our critical sell signal to all of our students and followers. And the market followed suit shortly after. What was more interesting was the much larger crash that happened after. Because this is, again, where you'll see that same thing we saw in 2015, where we had this real divergence in what you think is going on versus the truth of what's actually going on. And you can see here in early June, we hit this 70% number again, which is where we once again issued a sell signal to our students and started looking for shorts. And remember, in the months after this, the S&P 500 broke record level highs, went higher and higher and higher, fresh record highs. But at the same time the S&P was seemingly doing this, individual stocks were going the opposite way. By the time the S&P 500 crashed, individual stocks had been going down. By the beginning of October, when the S&P started to drop, we had already declined from 70% of stocks being above their key support level down to 30%. Okay. Is this making sense to everyone so far? Am I explaining this clearly enough? Yeah, excellent. Okay, so 2020, we saw the same thing occur. In 2020, we rallied up into this 70% threshold around the 16th of December. This is where we began those 43 different webinars we did over the period of December to February, trying to warn as many people as possible. We went into this 70% number or above. We went up to it again in January, and then we began the decline. As you can see, before the market really even started to crash in late February and into March, we'd already dropped again, from 70% down to 30% of stocks still above their key support. So when we say the market's doing this and the market's doing that, what's really far more relevant is what the individual stocks are doing, because that's where your money is. That's where my money is, right? Unless you're just trading the S&P 500, this is a way to peel back the onion layers and get down to the truth. If we fast forward to what's going on right now, just one moment here, take a look at this. Okay, this is the live data as of today. So on June 8th, 95% of stocks were in this were above their key support level. Since June 8th, as the markets made record level highs again, individual stocks tell a different story. In fact, as of just a few days ago, since June, we've dropped from 95% of stocks above key support to a low of 20.7% of stocks above that key moving average support, meaning roughly 80% of stocks in a consolidation or bearish pattern. That's a very dangerous signal. If we want to compare, this is very similar to what actually happened in 2018. So let's just go back and take a look at this, all right? In 2018, the S&P 500 crashed in February, recovered, made record level highs, created a bubble in that breakout zone, and then everything fell apart really fast, right? At the same time, so again, crash in February, record highs into October, crash in October. At the same time, let's look at that that indicator we just talked about, right? Same thing occurred. In 2018, stocks above their 50-day moving average peaked in June. In fact, on the same date, June 8th, as we did this year, right? And then June, July, August, September, October declined all the way down to 20%. And then the market crashed in October. S&P 500 this year crashed in February. Rallied up, made record highs, created a bubble in the breakout zone, same way we did in 2018, and the same exact activity from individual stocks. Peaked on the 8th of June, and we've dropped all the way down to 20%. It is a replica of what happened in over those that 2018 period, just much worse. So this is a very good reason to be on high alert at this point, right? Making sense? This is data that is telling us the truth, right? There's no subjectivity here. This is telling us what's happening with the stocks behind the market. Now, taking that one step further, so that indicator is one of three that we look at in terms of giving us key buy and sell signals in our portfolio. Right now, we're on very, very, very high alert and have gone about 60% to cash in the last week. And what we're holding are our very favorite longs and our very favorite shorts, because this is now a market where only the very strong stocks are still going up, but the large majority of the market is now already in a bearish trend. So the takeaways from that indicator so far is that if you're going to go long or be long right now, then that should be a stock that you're so confident in that you'd be willing to hold it even if there was a nasty pullback coming. And those are the only longs we hold. What that takeaway also tells us is that we should be preparing to and should already be looking for those very juicy shorts, the rotten apples that are already dropping from the tree. And I'll show you some today. But the next part, the next indicator we look at is something we designed about 7 years ago. I'm not a huge. I don't use indicators a lot. I used to. As I mentioned, I studied over 130 of them in my early days. What I'm more interested in though is trying to keep things simple. I want to really, you know, it's the old 80-20 saying, right? 20% of what you look at is going to give you 80% of your results. So I prefer to focus on that 20% rather than adding 10 more indicators. It's only going to marginally increase the results possibly, but is more likely just going to add confusion, which detracts from your results, right? This indicator is one, though, that is very important, and it's one we designed 7 years ago. It only works on the S&P 500, but it has an impeccable track record. Over the last 1,400 signals on the S&P 500, it gives roughly two signals a month. Over the last 1,400 signals, going back 60 years, it has an accuracy or a track record of just shy of 93% correctness or being right. It was one of the reasons why we were so bearish on the market in December, January, February. We had these very clear red arrows or bearish signals that happened on the S&P 500. And this, of course, aligned with the same data we were seeing in the previous indicator. Where we're at now is we've been pretty much bullish. The S&P signals have been bullish ever since the bottom in March, April, which was very useful because that allowed us not only to get out at the top, but get back in pretty close to the bottom. And it's kept us in bullish all the way up until recently, where we got this sell signal here in mid-September. And the next signal we get is tomorrow. So if that signal is bearish, bearish, then this would be a perfect storm of all of the same indicators that have gotten us out of the way of trouble in every single crash since 2007 would be aligning in the same way they have in all those previous events if this goes bearish tomorrow. So very important time in the market, as we started out by saying today. And the warning signs are certainly there. Insiders are selling. 80% of stocks have dropped below their key support level. And we're waiting on this indicator then to be the final nail in the coffin. At best, if this goes bullish, we may get another month of bullish to sideways action. But even still, as we talked about in 2018, just because the S&P 500 may go up doesn't necessarily mean stocks are. So again, this is why it's so very important at the moment that that we have an edge. And that edge is by looking at where those very, very individually, very special types of trade setups are happening. Okay. And it doesn't need to be difficult. This is not, you don't need to go and pour through the economic data and things like that to find these very high quality stocks. So let's talk about what they are. Let's talk about the types of trades that we're very interested in, long and short. Okay, and those are going to be defined by these pillars that we talked about earlier. High probability patterns with very strong smart money going on behind the scenes. Right. And thirdly, also do it in a way where we can set and forget, because in a market like this, we want to do everything we can to remove emotion. I was chatting to one of our students yesterday, and she said to me, she said, you know what? The thing that I've always struggled with is I'll look at a stock that I'm long. And maybe I didn't have a stop loss or something in place, but it's down 10, 15%. And I'm wondering whether I should cut my losses and get out. And I'm wondering to myself, I mean, how much lower can this possibly go? You know? And then she talked about, you know, a successful trade where she may have missed out on getting in and it's already up 15, 20%. And she's kicking herself for not buying it. And she's saying, well, should I just say to hell with it and jump in now? You know, what are the chances it's going to go up another 20, 30, 40%? And this is emotional thinking, right? You're trying to recreate the wheel and guess what's going to happen next, which brings anxiety. It detracts you from your rules, because there is an answer to these questions of what are the chances it's going to go up further? Should I get in here? Should I get out? And these are things that we can very clearly and very easily define if we know the rules of the pattern. And once we program those rules in, we then set and forget the trade. So our strategy does the work and you don't have to be faced with those emotional decisions. This is what makes trading fun. It's certainly what makes trading profitable on a consistent basis. So the types of trades that we're looking for are where we have these very high probability patterns and all of the things going on behind the scenes that we're looking at. Let's take a look at some ones that have already transpired so you can see the before and after, and then we'll look at some more recent ones. So KRTX is a great example of and one of the alerts we sent out as a long. So firstly, let's start with the chart. In fact, I'll use TradingView. I think that a lot of people use TradingView these days. Let's go to KRTX. Okay. So in KRTX, the chart pattern here, when we first alerted it, is a downward channel. Okay, downward channel, falling wedge. Now, that pattern, a downward channel, is bullish. So again, the very first thing we need to do before we even go into insiders and smart money and things like that, is we need to know, do we have 95% of the volume likely going in our favor? And that comes from the pattern. So if we know how to identify the pattern, the rules of what we need to do about it are very clearly defined. This has been going on for decades, right? It's much like, it's exactly like if you play blackjack, right? I don't know how many people here like to play cards. I'm not a big card player. I prefer to put my money in the market. But you know, blackjack, for example, has very, very clearly defined probabilities. You know, if the dealer has a six, you don't take another card, right? Because the probability is they're going to bust and you're going to win, right? There are clearly defined rules that are where the probability is significantly higher in your favor than playing a card game when you talk about the market. If we see a downward channel, there's just under a 70% probability that after three times it's bounced along that resistance, it's going to break out and go up. So you see a downward channel, you get ready for that bullish move. It's a very easy recipe at how you trade that. So from a technical perspective, as soon as we scanned for and found this downward channel, we're able to then set and forget or pre-program a trade so that when the stock breaks out of that channel, go long, right? And that's a very, most simplistic form of a set and forget. We see the pattern, we pre-program that if it breaks out to the upside, buy it. So the technicals were perfect. So then we went behind the scenes and said, well, what about more than the technicals? What else is going on that could really make this something more than just a trade and make it something far more explosive? And for that, we go to the fundamentals. Now, I'm not a fundamentalist. I don't have a degree in biotechnology. I haven't spent 30 years down a hole in a mine digging out chip rock and mining for gold or diamonds or coking coal and things like that. You know, that's not how I've spent my life. I'm a patterns guy, right? But I know who is an expert, the insiders. See, a lot of people spend all their time reading through news websites and sitting in chat rooms and asking everybody and their dog what they think of a stock. But at the end of the day, especially from a fundamental perspective, everyone's guessing. It doesn't matter whether you're the CEO of Goldman Sachs or Warren Buffett himself. Everybody is just making an educated guess. The only people that actually know are the insiders. So why are we wasting, in my opinion, why spend all this time trying to figure out if it's the next Google or not, when the only people who know are actually showing their cards, they're actually showing their hand right there for us to look at. In KRTX's example, the insiders bought in the months leading up to that, to this move. The 10% owner here bought 3.2 million. The president and CEO bought for the very first time ever. Another director bought 11.2 million and increased their personal position by 68%. Another director bought and 10% owner bought 3.2 million. Another director, like the CEO, bought for the first time ever. And then another insider bought as well. We have a mass accumulation here with tens of millions of dollars at around $16 to $23. Shortly after, just a few months after, the stock went from $16 to $150. That $11 million they put in was now worth roughly $110 million. You tell me that the smart money plays fair. There's only one reason that people in general put money into to anything is because we expect to make money. We hopefully expect to make a lot of money. When the insiders put in tens of millions of dollars, some of which including the CEO buying for the first time at the same time, this to me is one of the best possible indicators you can get to look beneath this, you know, peel back the onion layers and see the truth. Who am I going to care about the opinion of more? The talking heads on TV, the news on Motley Fool or Morningstar or any news site, or what the CEOs doing with their own money? The answer to me is fairly simple. And as you can see, that worked out very nicely in our favor. MYOV, another great example. MYOV, the accumulation was incredible. Again, this is another alert we sent out to our students. You can see here we've got, just count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 10% owners all bought roughly $20 million each. That's $160 million being bought from the people who already owned 80% or more of the company. $160 million when they already owned 80% of it. Tell me that there is any other reason that a group of people would do that other than greed, other than an expectation to make a lot and wanted every single penny they could have into it in it. They loaded up at $8.25 roughly and up to $8.96. Take a look at the pattern. Okay, once again, we had this downward channel. And as we broke out, we got pretty lucky on this one, actually, because the timing was perfect. We scanned for this idea. We found it. And you can actually see our buy alert there right on the 18th of November, in the morning of the 18th of November. The buy here at $6.13. The very next day, after our buy alert, this went up to a high of around $19 from $6. Right, that's a 200% gain, roughly. And the insiders were in there. Now, then the coronavirus happened. Now, by the way, the reason that went up is that they announced their approval of one of the first ever lupus treatment drugs that had ever been released worldwide and approved. This, of course, was a very good catalyst for why they shot up so much. Now, nothing changed in the business at all after that fact. But the coronavirus coronavirus hit and people were forced to liquidate good positions to free up cash, free up liquidity. It's why you got such a big crunch in the gold markets. People were forced to sell good things, things they loved, not necessarily because they didn't love them anymore, but simply they needed to get out of things that were liquid. And this is another great example of that. And this great stock with one of the only treatments for lupus went back from $19 all the way back to $6. And guess what happened? The insiders loaded up again at that same price level, at $6. Now the company now trading at the same price it was before their drug was approved. And so what did we do? Well, we saw the insiders buying again, and we saw once again the high probability pattern of that downward channel, which is a long. And as I said, after three touches long resistance, one touch, two touch, three touches, it's about to break. So we alerted a long here on the 24th of March at $6.80. We alerted another long here on the 6th of April at $7.81. And I think there was another one. Anyway, this rally then, of course, from around $6 all the way up to $20 again. Rinse and repeat. This is the kind of stuff that when I see these types of setups, these are the kinds of setups I'm willing to hold even in a troubled market, right? Kirkland's was another great one, which I'm waiting for a re-entry point. But Kirkland's, you had mass buying from the CEO, chief operating officer, director, chief financial officer. They were loading up at $1.37 all the way up to $2.93. Kirkland's, another one we alerted to our students back at $1, and then again at $1.37. Yep, fallen angel long setup there at $1.37 on the 9th of June. Our other alert was here on the 10th of July at $2.63. Again, perfect pattern. It's called a fallen angel, where you get a massive drop, beautiful consolidation, and then a breakout of everything that's holding it back. And that went from $1.37 to $13, close to 1,000% return from where we first alerted to that. These are the kinds of setups that that we really like, and these are the kinds of setups that that we alert. I mean, this is a more recent one, which is still an active alert. LMB, right? Again, look at the insiders. A 289% increase in their in the chief operating officer's personal holdings. They're not just buying a little bit here. They're increasing their position by almost 300%. The executive vice president and chief financial officer increasing their position by 92%, almost doubling, and the CEO taking a little dip as well. All at around $6 to $7, right? Again, let's look at the chart, right? Very similar. This is also a fallen angel setup. There was our alert here on the 11th of August at $4.64. And as you can see, it's skyrocketed since then to $12.23, actually just hit our profit target today, which is $12.33. And the beauty about this is all of this is pre-programmed. That green line is the profit target we have pre-programmed on this trade to exit automatically. The stop loss since we entered has been raised all the time. You can see the red line, $8.82, which we've moved up and up and up and up as the trade's progressed. So all we have to do once we pre-program and get into that trade at the beginning is simply adjust the stop loss as the stock continues to move until it hits the profit target like it's done today for a roughly 300% move, or pulls back and hits the profit protector underneath it. And this is the example of set and forget trading. And likewise, on the short side, we're not just looking for these kinds of longs, which we are, but we're also looking for the shorts. And so here's an example. Again, this is a live position. This is a live alert. We hold this in our Acorn Trading Fund short. Look at the flip side. On AM, the insiders have sold... look, in just November, the 10% owner sold $299 million worth. But that's not just the most important thing. It's the fact they sold everything. They don't even keep a single share. They sold close to $300 million, 100%. And then on the same day, Peter Kagan dumps $150 million, selling 100% as well. And if that wasn't bad enough, the CEO then sells $73 million, liquidating 62%. And then the second most important person in the company, the president and secretary, sells half for $41 million. Who on earth would buy that stock? Not me. In fact, as I said, we shorted it. So there you go. And this is the pattern in reverse. There's the upward channel. There's the upward channel, which is bearish, like a downward channel is bullish. So there was our alert for an entry there at $6.88. We shorted it. It's dropped down nicely. So we're moving our stop loss already. We've already locked in a beautiful profit by our stop loss now being at $6.07. This has been going going down while the market's been going up, like I talked about earlier, and is still dropping today. If we break through this $5.10 mark, we're probably going to drop all the way down to our target of $4.19. And all of this is pre-programmed in my brokerage, so I don't have to look at this each day. All I have to do is adjust my stop loss, right? That's the only thing I have to do, is just move my stop loss to protect my profit each time it breaks through a new support level. And that's what, to me, smart money trading is all about. And I can sit here and could talk to you for another 3 hours until the market closed and not have to worry about any of my positions while they're out there working for you, working for me, you know, where your money is working for you. So that's what we really provide. What we provide is, you know, transparent strategies that allow you to focus on the 20% that matters, right? The less is best. Keep it simple. KISS. And then have very clear rules that you can be confident of and understand that allow you to execute trade after trade after trade with confidence and clarity. And if not, do it from anywhere you want. You know, whether that's from home because you've got kids, or if you are someone like me who likes to travel, whatever the case might be, it's something that doesn't require you to exchange your time for money anymore. And that, to me, is trading. So the offer we put together, a very special offer for today's presentation, as you can see the link below, acornwealthcorp.com/KISS. Keep it simple is our, we put together a smart money trading package that's going to go through all of this for you. Of course, first and foremost are the alerts. We're going into elections. We've got some major sell signals coming out on the market that I showed you earlier. That's just a couple of the things we're looking at. Obviously, we don't have all as much time as we'd like to show you everything. We couldn't fit it all into an hour presentation. But the next few months are very critical. So we'll be there to hold your hand throughout this whole process. You're going to get a minimum of one weekly video report every weekend with our top five actionable trade setups. Those could be shorts and longs. They could be all shorts, all longs, depending, of course, on what the market's doing. Right now, we are waiting for the that very important S&P 500 signal to happen tomorrow. And then we'll be publishing a report over the weekend to prepare you for what to do next week. It'll be a very important week ahead. Now, that's the one weekly report. Well, I often do two or three other videos throughout the week to give you up updates when markets are as active as they are. So you'll never be left wondering what to do or not understanding what the market's doing. We'll be on top of that with you and telling you exactly what we're doing with our own money. Entry levels, exit levels, stop loss levels. Every single day, you'll get a written update of where we're adjusting stop loss criteria to and things like that. Any options we're considering, if you're an options trader, you'll get optionable alerts as well on the trades we're looking at, as well as the stock setup and live classes. Every Tuesday, Thursday, we're going to do a live technical event, which goes for an hour at 7 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday and Thursday. Those are recorded and published on our customer portal immediately after the session's done. So if you can't attend live, you can watch those. And that's where we'll be discussing the conditions, talking about what's going on with inside. Any new trades we find, we'll be scanning for live trades in the classes so you can see how it's done, taking questions from the audience, the whole kit and caboodle. So this will take you through all the way through to the new year. And of course, for those of you that don't know, October, November, December, January, especially October, November, December, are typically the most profitable months for trading in general, let alone the market conditions we're in, let alone the fact we're in an election year. So if you were ever going to tap into smart money trading, this is certainly the time to do it. These 3 months should be extremely exciting, and that's why we've packaged everything like this. And for those of you that do want to learn how to do it yourself, we've included the training as a bonus. So you're going to get our smart money trading course, which will give you several modules, about three modules. It will go through all of the smart money indicators we use to analyze the market conditions, how to see where the insiders are going overall in the market, which sectors have the biggest levels of insider buying and selling. The indicators I showed you earlier, I showed you two. You get a total of four indicators in this package, which you'll have lifetime access to. We go over what the most powerful patterns are. You know, there's about 100